Gospel of John, chapter 18. I'd like us to consider tonight the opening two verses. John, chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. The Lord Jesus would soon be betrayed by the kiss of the traitor Judas. He would soon be arrested and taken to the place of judgment, then on to the place of crucifixion. But before those events took place, it was in the mind of the Lord Jesus to spend some time in a place called Gethsemane, a place just outside Jerusalem and at the base of the hill called Olivet. We should take notice of some of the things recorded by the Holy Spirit that took place ere the Lord entered Gethsemane. Some of those things mentioned here in our text for this evening. John the Evangelist, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us something, first of all, about the period. The chapter begins with the words, when Jesus had spoken these words. It was when Jesus had spoken these words, or following these words spoken by Christ, that he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, what is meant there by these words? They either refer to what he had just spoken and is recorded in John 17. For in John 17 we have the great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. And so he has finished praying. Then we read, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went. Or if we look at the other Gospels, the record of the other three evangelists, they tell us that the Lord Jesus had just been ministering to his disciples. He had just instituted the Lord's table, and he had been ministering to his disciples. Therefore, when he had finished ministering, or when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth. Let us look at these two possibilities. Let us look at the first possibility, that these words refer to the high priestly prayer of the Lord. We may learn from that. We may learn that the Lord Jesus not only believed in and engaged in private prayer, but he also believed in public prayer. Because John 17, we have the Lord in private prayer, and John 18 begins by telling us that Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane for public prayer because he had his disciples with him. And Luke, of course, gives us a fuller account of what took place in Gethsemane, where the Lord Jesus prayed and exhorted his disciples to pray. It was there the Lord sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as he agonized in prayer before the throne of grace. But if, on the other hand, the phrase, when Jesus had spoken these words, refer to his preaching and his ministry to his disciples, there is a lesson for us here also. It would draw our attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus and his public ministry, or the public ministry of Christ, was now drawing to a close. His preaching days were almost at an end. And as his preaching days were almost at an end, we're told that he spoke these words and went forth. Where was he going to? He was going into the Garden of Gethsemane there to pray. When you look at the preaching ministry of the Lord Jesus, we see Christ as prophet. When we see the Lord Jesus going into Gethsemane to pray and to agonize on the behalf of his church, we see the Lord Jesus as priest. And as he made his way to Calvary and they nailed him to that center tree, they placed a superscription above his head which declared King of the Jews. And there we see Christ as prophet and priest and king. So the text tells us something about the period, just following the Lord's words that he spoke, either in his preaching as to his disciples or in his praying in that private place of prayer. But then there's something else here that the Spirit of God, in his wisdom, has recorded for us, and I believe, of course, recorded for our learning. Notice the Lord's pathway. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. The notice taken of this pathway intimates that there is something very significant about it. Namely, he had to cross over the brook Kidron to get to Gethsemane. Now, what is significant about the brook Kidron? In 2 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 13, we read there about another king of Israel, namely King David. And there was a time when he ruled as king of Israel that one who was near and dear to him rose up against him and betrayed him. His name was Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was David's counselor. But Ahithophel gave his allegiance to Absalom, David's son, because David's son Absalom wanted to be king. And we know how David's son Absalom won the hearts of the people of Israel. So much so that they rejected David as their king. And the day came when David had to leave Jerusalem. And he did so with a heavy heart. And a small group of people went with him. And they made their way out of Jerusalem and they crossed over the brook Kidron. As David made his way out into the wilderness. 2 Samuel 15 verses 23 and 30 tell us that the Lord, that David as the rejected king of Israel crossed over the brook Kidron as Israel's rejected. Now the Spirit of God through his servant John has recorded this fact that Christ, as he made his way out of Jerusalem, crossed over the brook Kidron, as he made his way out of the city. And as he did so, he crossed the brook Kidron as Israel's rejected king. Because it wouldn't be too long before the people whom he had gone ministering amongst would soon be crying out, crucify him. Away with him. Away with him. He was Israel's rejected king. Interestingly enough, the word Kedron means dark waters. And it was a dark night for David when he crossed that brook Kedron as Israel's rejected king. It was a dark period in David's life. How dark was that night? The Lord Jesus crossed over on his way to Calvary. There he found the sheep that was lost because he also had been rejected. People said, "We will not have this man to rule over us. We have no king but Caesar." Then we notice also the place. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden. John is the only one of the four evangelists that tells us that Gethsemane was a garden. It's the only one who mentions the garden. And again, this is very significant. Because here, the Lord's sufferings began in this garden. It was where he agonized. It was where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. It was where he saw that cup that was placed before him and would be placed before him in Calvary. It was where his sufferings began. Where did man's sufferings begin? Where did man's sufferings for sin begin? Why, they began in a garden. For it was in the Garden of Eden that man fell, and that was where man's sufferings for sin began. It's only but right that the Lord Jesus, who came into this world to suffer for our sins, it's only but right that his sufferings also began in a garden. Only this time it wasn't the Garden of Eden, it was the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the wine press. Jesus, Gethsemane, went through the wine press. The Lord Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood there in Gethsemane. Just as the grapes are put into the wine press and crushed, and the juice is extracted, so Christ went into that place of suffering, where he agonized in prayer and sweat, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So let us now then follow the Lord Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane, because he with his disciples had gone there to pray. One of the great prayer meetings recorded in Scripture took place there in Gethsemane. Let us note first of all his coming into the garden. There were a number of places the Lord could have gone to that night prior to his arrest. He could have gone a little further up that hill, the Mount of Olives. Once he got to the brow of the hill, he would have seen Bethany in the distance. He could have gone there. He frequented a certain house in Bethany many times. He could have stayed there that night. Judas could have found him there also. Or he could have remained in that large upper room furnished for him. Instituted the Lord's table, the Lord's supper with his disciples. He could have stayed there. Or he could have gone far away from Jerusalem, knowing all things, knowing that the hour of his betrayal and arrest was only a short time away. So why did he then go to that garden called Gethsemane? Why did he go there? First of all, it was because of the law. The Passover, which had taken place that night, the Passover was to be celebrated that night. It was incumbent that all who kept the feast of the Passover should spend the whole night within the bounds of the precincts of the city. According to the ceremonial law, all who participated and observed the Passover feast had to remain within the bounds of the city. And the Lord Jesus, of course, that very night, celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And so instead of going outside the bounds of the city of Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus, in going to the Garden of Gethsemane, remained within the bounds of the precincts of the city. The Lord Jesus, of course, desirous to observe every point of the old law, did not go to Bethany. He did not go outside the city. That's why, if there was a place for him to stay that night within the bounds of the city, he chose Gethsemane. It was according to the law, and his obedience to the law and observance of the ceremonial law, that the Lord Jesus went to Gethsemane, to that place of prayer, prior to his arrest, betrayal, and crucifixion. You know, there is a law that exists today with regard to the place of prayer. It's not the ceremonial law, nothing to do with the ceremonial law, but it is a law that is laid down in God's Word. And it is incumbent upon us all that we obey that law. Where is that law to be found? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In our study in Hebrews, we have already considered this law. In Hebrews chapter 10, 10th chapter of Hebrews is the chapter that deals with the Christ being offered up as our sacrifice. Through the chapter again, note the number of times the word offering is mentioned. We read then in verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, by the shedding of His blood, opened up the way into the holiest of all by His offering up of Himself. The Lord shed His blood, the Lord suffered, bled and died, in order that we might enter into the holiest of all. Then we read in verse 22, let us draw near. There's the law. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God. Let us enter the holiest of all that has been opened for us by the Lord Jesus and His shed blood. Now look at verse 25. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. There's the law. It's the law of God. We ought to obey that law. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Yes, that applies to our worship of God, but prayer is part of worship. And Paul is dealing specifically here and primarily here with the place of prayer and the holiest of all. Through the death of Christ, the veil was rent and the blood is presented, has been presented on the mercy seat. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, let us enter into the holy. By the blood. If the Lord Jesus observed the old ceremonial law instead within the precincts of Jerusalem on the night of the Passover, and the place he went to was the place of prayer, then as the children of Christ, those who have been bought with his blood, ought to observe this law. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let us then, as the Lord Jesus and his disciples did, enter that place of prayer that night. Let us then collectively, as a body of God's people, give attention to the place of prayer. The Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane that night, not only because of the law and the place, but because of his love for the place. I believe that is very evident from the words of our text. For there we read in verse 2, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples." So this was not the Lord's first visit to the Garden of Gethsemane. We're told that he had oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Does this not teach us that the Lord had a love for that place? That place outside the walls of Jerusalem, that side over across the Kidron Brook, away from the noise and the din of the city, was a quiet place. It was an ideal place for a prayer meeting. Just an ideal place for a prayer meeting. I remember a couple of years ago, we were down in Malvern for the Minister's Week of Prayer. One of the brethren there, a brother Tony Carosi, myself and a couple of the other brethren who were visiting out to see some of the sights of Philadelphia. And then in the afternoon we went to a historic site. It was a park and it had to do with America's War of Independence. It was a battlefield, but it was just a beautiful quiet place. And as we were walking through this park, Tony suggested, "Let's have a prayer meeting." And it was just an ideal place for a prayer meeting, and we just sat on a wall and had a prayer meeting there under a tree. Just an ideal place for a prayer meeting. Garden of Gethsemane was an ideal place for a prayer meeting. No wonder the Lord frequented that place on a regular basis. Why? Because he loved that place. He loved the place of prayer. Oh, how we need to be made more like the Lord Jesus. How we need to have a heart like the Lord. How we need to have a love for the place of prayer. even as the Lord Jesus had. Oft times he loved prayer. For Christ, the place of prayer could have been anywhere. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 tells us he prayed by a river. Is that his baptism? Luke 6, verse 12 tells us he went up into a mountain to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 tells us he went and prayed in a certain place. Could have been a mountain, could have been a field, could have been another garden, could have been this very garden. The Lord Jesus, John 18, we now find him praying in a garden. It wasn't the location that mattered, but his love. Some people only pray when they have to. But the man who loves prayer just has to pray. Christ loved prayer, and here he is praying in Gethsemane. Why was he there? Because he loved the place. Why was he there? Why did he come into that garden? Because of his labor. I have no doubt that the Lord went to the garden to pray. As Luke tells us, he agonized in prayer. He went there because of the great work, of the great struggle that lay before him. Soon Judas and his armed band would arrive and arrest him and take him from that place. Soon he would be in Pilate's judgment hall. And soon would be heard the spine-chilling chant, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Soon the scourger's whip would open his back in the furrows of blood. Soon the crown of thorns would be placed upon his brow. And soon that cruel cross would be placed upon his shoulder. And soon he would be placed upon that cross. Soon the battle with the powers of darkness would begin. And soon the Son of God would be engaged in the greatest work ever undertaken by God. The work of redemption and rescuing precious souls. That's why Christ went and came into the garden of Gethsemane. Because of the work just before him that he would soon be engaged. For some, the only time that they engage their hearts in prayer is when trials come upon them. The Lord's trial lay before him, and he prayed before that trial came upon him. And we all know that it is often the practice of many that they only pray when trial comes. They only pray when trouble comes. Take, for instance, September 11th. Suddenly there were prayer vigils. Suddenly people started to think about heaven, death. Where are the prayer vigils today? Now that that tragedy is slowly fading into the past and is just part of history, people no longer talk about prayer or about God or about heaven or hell or preparing for death. But here's the Lord's greatest trial. We find the Lord Jesus praying before he entered that battle and began that trial. Now here is a lesson for us. If we don't know how to pray before a trial comes, we most certainly will not know how to pray when the trial does come. It's before it comes is when we need to learn how to pray. We need to follow the Lord's example. So let us go to Gethsemane. Let us see the Savior on his knees in prayer and follow his example. Then I believe there's something else here. There's his loyalty. His loyalty to that place of prayer. The Lord Jesus, knowing all things, of course. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. The Lord, we are told, of course, had frequented that place oft times. But on those occasions, there was not the threat on his life, even though a threat did exist, but not the same threat as there was on his life to betray the Lord. And the Savior's death was imminent. The Lord Jesus had been to that place before. And we find that he went to that place the very night that he was to be arrested and led away to be crucified. In other words, the threat, the real threat that night upon his life made no difference to the Lord Jesus. He did not break his stride. His schedule was not disrupted. He still went to the place of prayer. My, how this reminds us of Daniel. Over in Daniel chapter 6, we are no doubt familiar with the words, but let us read them again. Daniel 6, it was that conspiracy against Daniel, the real threat upon his life. The presidents, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, all consulted together. They wanted Daniel removed. And they wanted him removed by fair means or foul. And they opted for the foul. We read in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down his... He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel didn't even break stride. Nothing had changed. It didn't matter what law had been brought into existence. It didn't matter for Daniel if there was a threat on his life. It didn't matter if they had threatened to cast him into a den of lions. Daniel went to the same place as he had gone to before. Daniel knelt upon his knees as he had done before. Daniel prayed 3 times a day as he had done before. Nothing had changed. Daniel was loyal to the place of prayer. Christ was loyal to the place of prayer. If any man needed an excuse for abandoning and leaving the place of prayer, you would have said it was Daniel. Daniel could have gone somewhere else and shut himself in, locked the door and prayed. No, he opened his windows toward Jerusalem and he prayed just as he had done before. The Lord Jesus did not run from that place of prayer. The Lord did not run from Judas. The Lord Jesus went as he had done before on many occasions.
there engaged in prayer. You know, that ought to rebuke us. For when it comes to prayers and prayer meetings, the devil can give us 1,000 excuses. But Daniel didn't seize any excuse, neither did Christ. The Lord was loyal to the place of prayer. Dear child of God, let us turn a deaf ear to the devil. And let us instead turn our eyes towards Christ. And see Him there in Gethsemane kneeling. And see Him there praying. And let us then follow His example. You have His coming to the garden. You have also His company in the garden. Upon reading these verses, I was greatly struck and could not help but notice the repeated reference to the Lord's disciples. In fact, 3 times in these 2 verses, we read about the Lord and His disciples in Gethsemane. There in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which He entered and His disciples. Once more, verse 2, and Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. The Lord Jesus often went to Gethsemane in the company of His disciples. Here's His company. What do we notice about His company? First of all, they followed Him into the garden. Oh, I know John doesn't exactly say that, but Luke does. For we read in Luke 22, there in verse 39, and He went out and went as He was wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. Sometimes we can be a little hard on the disciples. It's easy to criticize them, but here is at least one time we can commend them. Because here they are being true disciples. What is a true disciple? A true disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus, one who comes under the discipline of Christ. And at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, when He called His first disciples, He said, "Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And here near the end of the Lord's ministry, we read of the disciples still following. On this occasion, they're following the Lord into the Garden of Gethsemane. They're following Christ to the place of prayer like obedient sheep, following their shepherd to the place of prayer. This, of course, is the way of true disciples. They are followers of Christ. This is the mark of a true disciple. It's a follower of Christ. A few weeks ago, we considered those who followed the Lamb whithersoever He goes. For the true disciple, that includes following Christ into Gethsemane, following Him to the place. Not only do we see that they followed Him there, but we notice references here surely made to their fellowship with Him there. For what do we read? When Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples.
Christ with his disciples, does that not speak to us of fellowship? And Judas knew the Lord was there because he oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Oh, what blessed and sweet times of fellowship the Lord and the disciples had together, must have had in that place called Gethsemane. My, would that not then encourage us to follow Christ into the garden? Because what awaits us there? Sweet time of fellowship with Christ. That's what awaits us there. We are in the place of prayer with the Lord, and He is with us. We have noted many times how the Lord loves fellowship with His people. The night of the Passover, it was His desire, I have desire to eat the Passover with my disciples. He wanted to be with them. He took them on occasions into a solitary place, just the Lord and His disciples, no one else, away from the multitude. Just so that they could have fellowship one with the other. My, how we love ministers' week of prayer. We look forward to the prayer times. We look forward to the preaching. We look forward to the fellowship. Not only with our brethren, fellow ministers of the gospel, but fellowship with Christ. Sweet times are often experienced in the place of. That's what we're missing if we do not follow Christ into the garden. We've just commended the disciples. They followed Him into the garden. But let us remember, it was in the garden that they forsook Him. They forsook the Lord in the garden. For when the shepherd was taken, then the sheep were scattered. And when they forsook the Lord, they forsook the place of prayer. I tell you, there's a solemn lesson there. When we forsake the place of prayer, it's a sign we've forsaken. His disciples forsook the place of prayer. They forsaken the Lord. Then we notice His confrontation in the garden. We read in verse 2, and Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. The Lord and His disciples entered the place of prayer that they might enjoy communion, and the Lord Jesus and His disciples might pray. Now we find Judas makes his way to that same place. He enters the garden, but for a very different reason. But I have to notice here, first of all, the Lord's witness. The Lord's witness. For Jesus, or rather Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. In other words, Judas used to attend that place of prayer. He knew all about it. And what was the Lord's witness? He oft times resorted thither. When Judas needed to find Christ, He knew where He would find Him. At the place of prayer. What a witness. What a testimony.
When it came to the time of prayer, Judas knew where to find Christ. When it comes to the time of prayer, anyone who is searching for us, will they know where to find us? Will they be able to say, well, we can go to the prayer meeting, we know so-and-so's there. It's a good witness to have. Good testimony. His witness and his waiting.
Jesus went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was the garden into the which he entered and his disciples. I have here a picture in my mind of the battle that's just about to commence. And the captain of our salvation steps out upon the battlefield first of all. There's no reluctance on his part. He's ready for the confrontation. He's ready to face Judas. He's ready to face the armies of hell. And our great captain steps out there in Gethsemane's garden and he awaits the enemy. Thank God for Christ. Bless the Lord for the captain of our salvation. We need not fear as long as he is our captain and we look to him. For the Lord went forth into battle to wage war against the enemy of our souls. And we rejoice that he was victorious. Speaks to me of his willingness. His willingness to suffer and bleed and die for his church. Speaks to me also of his warfare. Judas knew the place. So I've already said Satan had already entered into Judas. And the Lord said to Judas and that band of warriors that came with them with their torches and their lanterns and their weapons, the Lord said, this is your hour in the power of darkness. And the Lord Jesus went forth to confront the power of darkness as our great victor, and our great captain, and our champion. Thank God we also can go forth in the train of the Lord's. For the Lord Jesus went from Gethsemane to Calvary. And there Christ claimed the victory. Conquered hell. Conquered death. Conquered Satan. Bruised the serpent's head. Bless the Lord. We can live in the victory of Calvary. The Lord went to Gethsemane first. Let us in our Christian living and in our Christian life, let's follow Christ as true disciples, as Peter and James and John and the others did. Let us be true disciples and follow Christ into the garden, that place of prayer. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. Our eternal, gracious, loving God, we bless Thee and praise Thee for place of prayer. O Lord, how we have seen tonight how Thou didst love that garden outside Jerusalem, just over the brook Kidron, where the olive trees grew. O Lord, we pray that Thou will create in our hearts a greater love for that place of prayer.
Help us, Lord, like thine own disciples, to follow thee. To follow thee, Lord, into the garden. To fellowship with thee there. To enjoy those sweet times that can be had at the throne of grace. So, Lord, write the word on our hearts tonight. Teach us more about thee and about prayer. Be with us, our Father, as we leave this meeting house tonight. Take us to our homes in safety. Eternal God, abide with us there, and in thy will, and if thou dost tarry, return us, Lord, to the house of prayer, even later on this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until the Lord Jesus himself comes, or he calls his redeemed people home. Amen.